So this past week, we've joined with people and, of course, with churches all across the nation in our observance of Thanksgiving as we pause to say thank you. And our thanks, as people who follow Jesus Christ, our thanks first goes to our gracious God who loves us and who provides for us. And we rejoice that we know the Savior. We rejoice that Jesus has given us the promise of life everlasting. And of all people on earth who have reason to give thanks, we are certainly at the top of that list because we know that Jesus gave His life for us. We belong to a good God who watches over us and who protects and provides and meets our needs, and so we have so many reasons to give thanks not only this past week and today, but all throughout the year and every day of our lives. And so today, this Sunday between Thanksgiving and the beginning of Advent, which often begins today, but there are of course four Sundays before Christmas. That's the Advent season, and this year Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday, so next Sunday will be the first Sunday of Advent. And if you're making your plans ahead, be reminded that Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday, and we will worship that morning, as always, at 10:15. No Sunday school that day, but then we'll also gather Christmas Eve evening at 5 o'clock for our candlelight service. So two services on Christmas Eve this year. If you remember last year, Christmas fell on a Sunday, which only happens every few years, but that was a little unusual. And so this year, also a little unusual that we'll have two services on Christmas Eve. But today, we have this Sunday between Thanksgiving and Advent, and so we're going to continue to celebrate Thanksgiving today. I hope that you enjoyed a nice Thanksgiving meal with your family and friends. I know I had my fill of turkey and mashed potatoes, and then, of course, we did that on Thursday, and then last night we had the leftovers. So we've had two Thanksgiving meals, and I know some of you probably will have three or four with different families and different locations and different turkeys at the centerpiece of your meal. So, of course, the pumpkin pie is really the highlight of the meal, at least for me. But the greater meaning in Thanksgiving, to be serious, not the food, but this time of celebration, this time of giving thanks and showing gratitude to God. And so we're going to continue with that today. And I want to read a passage that may not come to your mind first. You know, we've heard from the Psalms, a great, a beautiful Psalm, 148 earlier in the service. But this passage that I'm about to read may not come to your minds really when you think about Thanksgiving. Although if you listen carefully, you'll understand why I chose this. And you also may understand as we go through the message that this was chosen particularly because of the age in which we are living, the year in which we are living, and the unrest in our nation. But this is from 1 Timothy chapter 2. Listen to what Paul wrote to his friend Timothy, and through the Holy Spirit comes into our lives as well. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. It is a Thanksgiving passage, and it's good for us to give thanks. It's good for us, it's also good for the people around us when we live with gratitude, when we give thanks for the little things and the big things in our lives. Giving thanks to God is one way that we offer Him praise, but it's also a testimony. It's a way that we show the world, that we show the people around us that God makes a difference in our lives, that knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior and giving thanks to Him is what makes us, is what shapes us into the people that God has called us and created us to be. This passage tells us a couple of surprising benefits to living a life of gratitude, ways that we are blessed, but also ways that we can be a blessing to the people around us. The first one is that giving thanks helps us to lead peaceful and quiet lives. Now, I imagine that not everybody wants to live a peaceful and quiet life. At least you watch the news and you see people who seem to thrive on celebrity and notoriety, and they like to be the center of the show and to have the cameras and the lights on them. My guess is that that's a very, very small percentage of the world. And in fact, those who are in the spotlight for their public lives, I'm guessing most of them prefer when the lights go off. Because leading a peaceful and quiet life, I think, is what most of us prefer. Paul connected thanksgiving, giving thanks, with praying for and respecting those in authority. And I want us to think a little bit about why that might be. Giving thanks and praying for even governing authorities, even those with whom we may not agree. We're called to pray for all those in authority, to live humbly under their authority, which enables us, and I think this is the point he's making, enables us to lead those quiet, peaceful lives. Now, that was a hard lesson for Paul in his day. And the reason Paul had to write that to Timothy, the reason he had to remind Timothy, who is the pastor of a local church at times in his ministry, at other times Timothy would travel with Paul and share the good news with people around the southern part of Europe, as we would look at the map today. But Paul wrote those words to Timothy at a time when the Roman Empire, which controlled the Middle East and Southern Europe and vast parts of the world, Northern Africa, the Roman Empire was the great world power of its time and was, of course, not friendly to the church. The Romans were there, of course, when Jesus was crucified. Crucifixion was a Roman form of execution. And the Romans were perfectly happy to continue to put to death Jesus' followers. That was, of course, how Paul eventually lost his life. And he understood that as he wrote these words that we should be thankful for and pray for those in authority, that those words would be met with skepticism or maybe even resentment by the people who would read them. Why would we be grateful for the Romans? Why would we be grateful for those who persecute us? Why would we pray for people who oppose us? Paul said we should pray for them. We should be thankful for them. And that was a tough lesson in the first century, and it might still be a hard lesson for us today. I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to watch the news these days. I still do. It's still something that's always been a big part of my life, to follow politics and news and the economy and all those things. And I studied political science in college, and it's always been a part of my life. But these days it's hard to watch the news for all the scandals and the political issues and the division in our nation, and to see what seems to be, and maybe it's just how the media presents it, but negative news after negative news filled with maybe a slice of fake news here or there. Many people have a hard time giving thanks today for those in charge, whether it be the president, whether it be Congress, who I think are battling for lowest approval ratings, governors, our own governor will be up for election soon, whoever it might be. It's hard to give thanks for our leaders sometimes. And I don't mean to take sides politically. I'm not going to take sides politically here. But we do need to ask, how could God tell us to give thanks for political leaders like these? And in the first century, they must have asked Paul the same thing. And today we ask now, how could we give thanks for the people in charge? Well, Paul did not say that we should give thanks for the decisions they make or the laws they pass. He didn't say that we should be thankful for every tweet they send out or every fake news story that we read. He didn't say that we should be thankful for politicians failing to pass legislation or keep their promises or do the things that they've been elected to do. He didn't say we should be thankful for the times when they spend our taxpayer monies to clean up the messes that they cause in their own private lives. We don't need to be thankful for those particular things. But instead, the Spirit is inviting us to give thanks and to pray in place of resentment and cynicism, to give thanks for what is good and what is right, even when those things may seem few and far between. You see, gratitude changes our hearts. Gratitude, I think, also can relieve stress. It can refocus our minds away from all the problems and worries and fear, which again is what the media sells these days. And it can refocus our minds onto the blessings that we enjoy and those things that bring goodness and peace into our lives. Giving thanks also keeps us from complaining and criticizing, which is so easy to do. It's easy to be cynical. It's easy to complain about things. It's easy to point out the problems and complain about why nobody fixes them. But giving thanks forces us to look for the good things. Again, even if they are few and far between. When we give thanks, we set aside our differences. We set aside our disagreements, and we focus on those things that are good, and there is so much that is good, even in our nation, in our society, even in our political system, there is so much that is good. We are still free to worship in our nation. We are still free to live according to our values. Even if those values aren't shared by many around us, we are still free to live according to what Scripture teaches us. And instead of just giving in to what the world says is right, that we know is wrong, or what the world says is wrong, that we know is right, we choose to live according to the values that we find in Scripture. And we're free to do that, and we should be grateful, even if it makes us different. We should be grateful that we live in a nation that is prosperous, even if that prosperity often turns into overindulgence. Things aren't perfect. Our leaders aren't always right. But giving thanks for what is good will help us to be a part of making the world a better place rather than just piling on with all the bad. And again, it's easier to pile on. It's easy to be cynical and to complain. But giving thanks for what is good will help us to be a part of making this world a little bit better, which leads us to a more peaceful and quiet life instead of a life that is defined by bitterness and resentment and anger. We find peace and quiet when gratitude replaces greed, when thanksgiving outweighs jealousy, when rejoicing takes the place of grumbling, we find our lives are more peaceful and simply better. So a life of thanksgiving brings us peace, but it can also be a blessing to others. And this is another surprising benefit as Paul writes these words about praying for and giving thanks for those in authority. He's also going to tie it into how that can be a blessing to the world around us. It not only makes our lives feel better, it makes us focus on what is good and right instead of just being upset and complaining about everything that's wrong. And so Paul says, this is good. And he's talking about giving thanks. He says, this is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. It's a remarkable and surprising truth here, that gratitude strengthens our witness for Christ. Giving thanks helps us to share the good news of Jesus. And if you missed that phrase, I want to read it again. It really strikes me as important, particularly in the age that we live in. This pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved. I think all too often the Christian church is painted by the culture around us as being exclusive and divisive and judgmental, and we look at the people outside the church as though they're no good and we don't want them and we're afraid of them, but that's simply not true. It's not the way that God intends for us to live or to look at the world around us. God wants all people to be saved, and that should be the attitude of our hearts as well, that we want everyone to find new life through Jesus Christ. That is our mission, and it should be at the center of the heart of everything that we do in the church, of course, but even in our own individual lives. That we are a part of fulfilling God's desire that people would come to salvation through Jesus Christ. What we do here sets us apart from the world. It makes us look different than the world. Of course, most Americans celebrated Thanksgiving a few days ago. It's become sort of a cultural holiday, and that's good and fine. It's good for even those who don't believe in God to give thanks. Whoever they offer their thanks to, it's still a good thing for them. But we say thanks in a special way. And not just on Thanksgiving, but week after week, day after day, our gratitude flows in a specific direction, and that is that we give thanks to Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God, our Creator, God, our Redeemer. We give thanks to the One who gave us life and continues to give us life and has promised us eternal life. Our thanksgiving doesn't change with the conditions of the world around us. Doesn't matter what the stock market is doing, we can still give thanks. Our thanksgiving isn't dependent upon the state of the economy or the news or politics or any of that. Our thanks is not affected by storms or international turmoil. We give thanks because we know the Savior. And it doesn't matter what happens around us or even in our own lives. Jesus Christ is still our Savior, even during the difficult moments of our lives. Even when all that we see in the news and all that we see around us looks dark and bad and full of fear, Jesus Christ is still our Savior. And so we still give thanks. And out of this heart of steadfast thanksgiving, we share our faith with the world. We give testimony to how Jesus Christ has changed our lives. And the people that you work with, and the students you go to school with, and the neighbors who live around you, and all of your family members, and all of your friends, and all the people around you, they notice how you live. And you may not want people watching your life, but they do notice. And they know that you're here on Sunday morning. And they know that you identify yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a Christian, as one who models your life after Jesus Christ. And so they watch how you live, and they listen to how you speak. And they see, I hope, they see the gratitude that you express. And they can tell that you're different because of Jesus. You see, when people around us are filled with fear and anxiety, or when they're living their lives in a selfish way, we stand out. We stand out as people who have grateful hearts. We stand out as people who recognize God's goodness and God's love that has made our lives different. And our lives aren't perfect. And we never want to show or try to act like we're perfect. We don't want to be hypocritical in front of the world. Coming to Jesus, finding new life in Him, doesn't fix all of our problems. And we should never tell the people around us, especially unbelievers, that our lives are now perfect and we never do anything wrong, because that's simply not true. Knowing Jesus doesn't remove every worry from our lives, but we do have something that others don't, and that is that our hearts are filled with the steadfast assurance of God's love that is never taken away from us. We have this anchor for our souls in the midst of storms, in the midst of turmoil and division and fear and all that we see swirling around us. We have faith in God Almighty, who never changes and never leaves us. And so when you give thanks to God through the storm, people are going to notice. And when you praise God during trials, people are going to pay attention. And when you rejoice, even in times of sorrow, people are going to look at you and they're going to wonder, what makes that person so different? What is it that has changed them? How can that be? And it's our thanksgiving that invites people to find out. To find out what makes us different. And what brings us peace. So I want to encourage you, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, this time of the year when we see family and friends and have parties and dinner guests and we give gifts and we do all these things to show our gratitude and joy and express love to the people around us, I want to encourage you to take the opportunities that God provides to give thanks. And to give thanks in front of your family and friends, in front of even your unbelieving neighbors and co-workers, in front of those people who may not be in church this morning, who may not know the Savior. Or maybe they do, but they've wandered away and they're not living their lives for God. To give thanks in front of them as a witness to the goodness of God in your life. Don't waste these moments. Don't be afraid to share what's in your heart. Don't be afraid even to offer a quick word of prayer if you see someone struggling. Or just to say, God's been good to me. Especially in a time when there's so much anxiety and division in our world. We are called to be a voice of thanksgiving. We are called to offer words that can bring peace and gratitude and hope, and to share that with others. Paul writes, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." That is our reason for thanksgiving. No matter what else happens in the world, Jesus Christ is the reason that we can give thanks every single day. And this is also the good news that we're called to share with those in need. So let's take a moment and give thanks right now. Let's bow our heads and let's join in a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we do give you thanks for your goodness and your love. We thank you for Jesus, who is our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you give us opportunities to witness, to share your love, to give thanks in front of others. Lord, we pray for those people that we know who may be far from you. We pray that their hearts would be open to you, and that as you give us opportunities to share your goodness and your love with them, that their hearts would be changed. Lord, we can't change them, but we know your Spirit can. And that you can use us in that process of bringing people to salvation. So Father, help us to love well. Help us to give thanks even out loud. Help us to tell the story of Jesus Christ in our own words, or by inviting people here to the church, or inviting people to the Christmas banquet or the Christmas Eve service, by sharing with them the goodness of what You're doing in our lives. Lord, we thank You for Your love. And we pray that You'd help us to walk in ways that show the world who Jesus is. As we ask this in His name. Amen.